Hare Hare. Ki jai Gantra Srila Bhagavatam Ki jai Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 26, text 11 to 13. 11 is there? Huh?
All the verses are
there. Okay, all the verses are there. Pralambam gata yitpugram Balina balashanina Amuchet vrajapashan Gopams charanya vanita Pralambam gata yitpugra Balina balashanina Amuchet vrajapashan Gopams charanya vanita Pralambam gata yitpugram Balina balashanina Amuchet vrajapashan Gopams charanya vanita
Pralambam Pralambam gata yivostraham Pralambam Palena balashalena
Palena balashalena
Amochayat vrajapashum
Amochayat vrajapashum
Gopams charanya vanita
Gopams charanya vanita
Bhagata yitu
brahmu Brahmanayivoram
Balina balashayina
Balina balashayina
Amochayat vrajapashu
Amochayat vrajapashu
Charanya vanita
Gopams charanya vanita
Pralambam bhagata yitu brahmu
Thank you.
demon named Pralamba. Gatayitva, arranging to be killed. Ugram, terrible. Balena, by Lord Balaram. Balashalina, who is very powerful. Amochayat, he liberated. Vrajapashu, the animals of Raja. Gopan, the cowherd boys. Cha, end. Aranya, of the forest. Vanitaha, from the fire. Translation. After arranging for the mighty Lord Balaram to kill the terrible demon Pralamba, Krishna saved Raja's cowherd boys and their animals from a forest fire. Text number 12. Asi visatama hindram damitva vimadam radat prasayo dvasya jamunam chakrisu nirvisudakam. Krishna chastised the most poisonous serpent, Kaliya, and after humbling him, he drove him forcibly from the lake of the Yamuna. In this way, the Lord made the water of that river free of the snake's wonderful poison. Sorry, not wonderful, powerful poison. Excuse me. It... Jushchajas chanara gosmin sarvesam novrajukasam nandatinaya shmasu tasyapiyutpatika katam. Dear Nanda, how is it that we and all the other residents of Raja cannot give up our constant affection for your son? And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us? Purport. The very word Krishna means the all-attractive one. The residents of Vrindavan could not give up their constant love, anuraga, for Lord Krishna. Their attitude towards him was not particularly theistic because they were unsure whether he was God or not. But he attracted all their love precisely because, as God, he is the all-attractive person, the supreme object of our love. The cowherd men also asked, how is it that young Krishna feels such constant love for us? In fact, the Supreme Lord loves all living beings who are eternally his children. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna dramatically declares his affection for Arjuna and urges Arjuna to reciprocate that love by surrendering to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, states, Etadrisita vakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivim idrisam ihajni na anuraga. My Lord, you are so merciful toward me, but I'm so unfortunate that love for you has not awakened within me. Sikshastak 2. In this statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also uses the word anuraga. Our misfortune is that we cannot reciprocate the anuraga, or loving affection, that the Lord feels for us. Although we are infinitesimal and insignificant, and the Lord is infinitely attractive, somehow we do not give him our love. We must accept responsibility for this foolish decision, since to surrender to God or not is the essential expression of our free will. The Krishna Consciousness Movement provides an efficient, systematic program to help conditioned souls revive their original blissful consciousness, which is love of God, Krishna Consciousness. The intricacies of Krishna Consciousness are so wonderful that even Krishna's eternal associates, the residents of Vrindavan, are astonished by them, as shown by these verses. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Gyananana Salakaya Shakshurun Minitanyana Tasmai Sigurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Girada Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verses 11 and 12 continue to describe Krishna's miraculous pastimes and how Krishna performs his human and simultaneously superhuman pastimes. And is very close and intimately involved with his devotees. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami has described the characteristics of pure devotional service. And he describes Klesagni Subhada. He says that all suffering will be destroyed by pure devotional service. Subhada, pure devotional service, will make everything auspicious. Moksha Lagutakrit, it will make the benefit that comes from impersonal liberation look insignificant. Sudurlabha, it is rarely attained. That kind of devotional service is Sandrananda Visheshatman and becomes more and more dense. Avyakta Kalatvam, not a moment to be wasted. Or Samutkanta, a great eagerness to always associate with Krishna. Nama Sada Gana Ruchi, to always glorify Krishna with great taste. In this way, the devotee is fully captured by Krishna. And every single moment is spent in remembering Krishna, glorifying Krishna, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna in some way or other. And finally, pure devotional service is also described as Sri Krishna Bhakarsani, which means that pure devotional service attracts Krishna. And that is very significant. And that is the crux of verse number 13. And maybe the very core of the entire pastimes that are being described here in the 10th canto. And how there is an intimate reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees, an intimate reciprocation of mutual love. And although the living being is infinitesimal, is anu, atomic in size, and although Krishna is vibhu, right, the all-pervading supreme personality of Godhead, somehow or other that supreme personality of Godhead gets involved personally with every infinitesimal living being. And when that living being turns to Krishna, then that tiny living being, who is basically insignificant, is able to attract Krishna. And that is something amazing, by all means. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, explained the meaning of the word Krishna, of the name Krishna, and explained that Krish is a root form, the Krish Dhatu, of the word Akarsan, to attract. And Na coming from Anand and giving great happiness. So one experiences the attractive features of Krishna, and the more one becomes attracted, the more one experiences great happiness. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also gives a second explanation, and the second explanation is that Krishna is one who can be attracted by devotional service. So it is the same point, Sri Krishna, Akarsani. This is the unique feature of bhakti. It is described that muktim dadati karichit smana bhakti yogam. I will give you liberation. Liberation I will give easily. But bhakti I will not give so easily, because by bhakti Krishna becomes purchased. And it's explained, examples are there. Srimati Radharani, of course, had fully purchased Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing, where is Krishna? Oh, he's on the banks of the Yamuna, learning to dance. Oh, who is his teacher? Srimati Radharani is her teacher. And he is following any of her movements closely behind. So in this way, she is fully controlling him. He is fully captured, fully purchased. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find also the example of Vasudev Dutta. And Vasudev Dutta was willing to take all the sinful reactions of all the living beings in the entire universe upon him. And so Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, became purchased by this level of surrender. And Lord Chaitanya states that Vasudev, he has purchased me. He can sell me in the marketplace. So this is most wonderful. How the devotee can actually attract Krishna. And this gives us an insight into the eternal nature of these pastimes that are described here. Whether the pastimes of Krishna take place in the spiritual world, or whether the pastimes of Krishna take place somewhere in the material world, there is no difference. Such pastimes are fully transcendental and taking place in the transcendental realm. So here we are looking at the eternal associates, the Parisat of Krishna, and these eternal associates, they are fully absorbed in their attachment to Krishna. They are described as Ragatmika, the personification of rag, of attachment to Krishna. And we are looking at these descriptions here in the 10th canto. And again we see how the residents of Vrindavan put their full faith in Krishna. For example, we can think of of Talavan, and we can think how one day the cowherd boys were saying they were very hungry, and there was this delicious smell of these tal fruits from these tall trees there, but they couldn't go because these demons were there and they were so hungry, so extremely hungry. So what are we going to do, Krishna? Something, we have to do something about it. Let's just go there, and so on. And they were not afraid. They were not afraid because they knew Krishna will protect us. There was no doubt about it. Because deep down in their heart, they understood this principle that devotional service purchases Krishna. And we are fully dedicated to Krishna. Everything that we do is dedicated to Krishna. He will not neglect us. The same thing, it is described that as the cowherd boys saw this unusual road somewhere in Vrindavan and some sort of big cave. And they'd never seen this road and cave before. And some said, well, that's exciting. Maybe we should check it out. Then someone said, no, it looks like a serpent. Looks like a big mouth of a big snake. Ah, come on, you know. Just a cave. But even if it would be a big serpent, Krishna will surely protect us. So in this way, the intimate relationship between Krishna and his devotees is displayed. And the devotees, their only interest is Krishna and nothing else. They just want to perceive. They want to perceive Krishna and his amazing qualities. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, we find that description of the competition between the love of Srimati Radharani and the qualities of Krishna, and how each time she finds that Krishna's qualities are unlimited. So she always finds a new quality. And as she finds that new quality, she loves that quality also. And in this way, her love is eternally increasing. And of course, we see in a way the same is happening to us, although very slowly. But we are slowly discovering more and more about Krishna. And each of the qualities that Krishna has are indeed amazing, you see. When we enter into discussions like, is there a God, is there not, then we could sort of think a little logical, and for a moment we could think that, well, if there was one, then naturally he would also include the qualities of his creation. And if so, we see personality everywhere in his creation, then he should also have personality. Now, if that's the case, then what kind of personality? And then if we look at Krishna, he perfectly fits the bill, right? He has all the qualities that are capturing the mind. He shows extraordinary power, and yet he shows care, and he adjusts. He becomes a child for his mother. He becomes afraid of her stick when she tries to bind him. So he cares the shoes of his father on his head. In this way, Krishna is simultaneously the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead and simultaneously a child. Shutim apri smitim itare Bharatam anye Bajanta bhava bita Aham iam nanda vande Yasya linda param brahma. I am worshipping the Supreme Absolute Truth who plays like a child in the courtyard of the house of Nanda Maharaj. Oh. So this contrast between Krishna's human-like features, which make him, as a village boy, very intimately connected to all the residents of Vrindavan, and simultaneously his superhuman features, his unlimited strength, lifting Govardhan Hill on the little finger of the left hand, the weak hand, just to show that really it was nothing, and it was nothing, just a hill. What's a hill for the unlimited strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Oh, but for us, it's just an inconceivable amount of strength. Oh. So in this way, Krishna captured the mind of his devotees. Krishna protected his devotees. Palambasura was killed by Balaram. And obviously these demons were causing great disturbance and a great threat to the residents of Vrindavan. And in this way, Krishna showed that his first and foremost interest was the protection of his devotees. Then killing demons. Krishna can kill demons in so many ways. He doesn't need to personally do it. He can send a thunderbolt or whatever he wants. Krishna can certainly, through indirect arrangement, dispose of all the demons in this world. So the only reason that Krishna personally takes up the mission of killing these demons is, or the principal reason, let's say, because it is said in the nectar of devotion that Krishna is daksha and he fulfills many purposes at once, right? So he never has one reason, he has simultaneously many reasons. But the principal reason is simply to more and more capture the hearts of his devotees. This is the nature of Krishna. And sometimes Krishna is described as a transcendental cupid, one who shoots arrows in the hearts of all living beings, of his devotees, simply to increase their love. That's his purpose. Krishna's purpose is to increase the love of his devotees eternally. And that increases his love. Right? And in this way, that reciprocation is eternally growing and growing and growing. And this is the miracle of the spiritual world and of Krishna's wonderful pastimes. Thank you very much. Yes, Preetu Prabhu is very quick.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your explanation. And of course, in Krishna consciousness we learn that in the ultimate analysis, the living entity has no ability to protect himself. This Maya is so strong, material nature is so strong. We think we can protect ourselves, and that we make so many material arrangements, this arrangement, that arrangement. But actually, Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita what it takes to protect it is simply fix your mind upon me. This is not to fix your mind upon me. And Matsika Sarabhuya, all of these, Matasa,
yeah.
No mercy will be destroyed. So the actual The mercy of Krishna is to destroy all obstacles. And the gopis and the gopas, they gave this example, that they didn't make any effort to protect themselves. They were fully situated on this, in this consciousness, that every moment, that I will not protect them against Krishna. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning and the end of my life. Without Krishna, there's no protection. And this shows us in every single pastime, you can see that, you know, that the dependency on Krishna is their life insurance, so to say. Mm-hmm. You know, that actually saves them, that they have this dependency on Krishna. And in this way, they master all difficulties and Krishna was killed. Even before breakfast, practically speaking. One after the other. Because they had this dependency on Krishna. They didn't try to save themselves as like Drupadi. She tried still to hold on to her sari. And still the full protection was not there. Till she actually ultimately let go. And stood on that level of complete dependency. I guess.
Raksasya Titi Vishwaso, that very strong faith that Krishna will protect. Krishna will. And that's why I mentioned the point that there is a sense in the devotees, a sense of awareness that devotional service does purchase Krishna's protection, that Krishna is surely going to protect, that dependence is based on a deep trust that Krishna will be there, no doubt. The cowherd boys had that faith, walk into Agasura's mouth, he will be there. And so what can that snake ultimately do? If it is a snake. Yes, this is very difficult, as you say. You know, it's not so easy because I have an experience that I once was asked to drive a bus with a group of people from Kathmandu to Turkey, to Istanbul. And at that time, we were not reading newspapers because we thought that was Maya. So somehow or other, we drove into Iran and we had no idea that there was just the revolution going on. So we drove straight into the revolution. And then, next moment, we were stopped by a man with a machine gun who looked like Fidel Castro and who stopped our bus and told us we were going to the revolutionary headquarters, and we went there, and there was a huge angry crowd, all very volatile, but the man with the machine gun told us to get down. There was some sort of fort with a gate and he told us to go there. So we went there. As we walked, the people made a pathway, then they start to hit us on the back with their fists. We ran into that fort, we ran into a courtyard, and the soldiers were waiting with machine guns and told us, line up against the wall. Now I stood there with the machine guns on me, chanting Hare Krishna, not too loud because they were Muslims, so I didn't want to awaken something, but I was chanting like anything. But I was not fully ready to leave it at that. So what I also did, I very slowly, but very surely, moved behind my neighbor. Sneaky as I am, I tried to move behind my neighbor, and I had this crazy plan. If it sort of looks like they'll shoot, I'll fall sideways and then I'll just act dead and then I'll take it from there. Yeah? I know it was a ridiculous plan. I knew it there and then that it was a ridiculous plan. Yeah? But I needed one. I needed something to hold on to, because just the holy name, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't trust the holy name. So it was very kind of, well, later we got out by some arrangement. That makes the story too long, so I'm not going to tell that today. But the point I have from practical experience that it's very difficult to come to this point of just trusting in Krishna.
Peter. A temporal amount of money was the temple. And so what they did is, he said, let's depend on Krishna. Let's use every single penny to decorate the altar. And then he sent Prabhupada this picture. And Prabhupada called on the phone and said, how did you get so much money to decorate the altar? And he said, Prabhupada, we have no money. Prabhupada said, then? He said, well, we took all the money that we had, every single penny, decorated the leaves, and now Krishna, you have to take care of us. So then Prabhupada wrote back and said, the idea to depend on Krishna is very nice, but now we have to do the work, and then Krishna will help us.
Sure.
To counter that nishtha, there has to be another new difference.
Yes, and when we cross the road, we can depend on Krishna, but when we cross the road, we still look left and right. Yeah, we don't close our eyes and I depend on Krishna. So we're still making reasonable arrangements for our protection within our capacity, and that is our duty. There we cannot just say, I rely on Krishna. No, we have to take responsibility ourselves also. But then when the circumstances get beyond our power, then we have only Krishna. Yeah. Nothing but Krishna can save us. Yes. And ultimately, as you say, that is the predicament in this world. Ultimately, only Krishna can save us. Okay, someone else. Yes, Apurva Prabhu.
So you mentioned about this being able to purchase Krishna. Mm. It's good. I mean, for us, it seems very far distant.
So, I spoke about that devotional service is purchasing Krishna, and Apurva Prabhu is saying that for us that appears to be very far away in a sense. Well, but there are many encouraging statements in that regard. Like in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice explanation and explains that Krishna is known as Achyuta. And he's known as Achyuta because he never fails to notice the smallest service rendered. Achyuta meaning infallible. So Krishna never fails to notice the smallest service rendered by his devotee. So that's encouraging to me because I'm not capable of big service, but you know, hope that, that something will be noticed. And that maybe that service will attract Krishna a little bit and his mercy. And in that way, we can develop great hope. And this principle of hope, asabandha, is an important principle. That the devotee is thinking, I am not qualified, I have not performed appropriately as I should have, but Krishna is so kind and merciful, therefore asabandha, therefore hope against hope, I still have great hope that somehow or other Krishna will be merciful to me. And so this is very and then there's Bhava Grahi Janardam. Krishna takes the intention. That takes our intention. When we may not be so perfect in our offerings, but if he sees we're trying, He's generous. Krishna is very generous. Prabhupada speaks about the 10 arms. Krishna has 10 arms. He said when Krishna is giving, or when Krishna is taking, what can you do with 2 arms? When Krishna is giving, he'll give so much, how can you receive it with your 2 arms? So Krishna is generous. So, asabandha, hope against hope, that we'll get his mercy. Yeah.
So, I have 2 questions. The first one is, how do we reduce our stubbornness to surrender to Krishna? Because in the third portion of Prabhupada comments on that, where ambition is so nice. And, how do we reduce that? And the second question is about...
One at a time. It's like, I can't remember. How to reduce our stubbornness. Well, we're being given an opportunity to reduce our stubbornness by taking up the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, taking shelter of the regulations of devotional service, and these regulations are there for the purpose of smartavyam satatam vishnu vismartavyo najatasit sarva vidini sevishu etyo eva kinkaram, for the purpose to always remember Krishna, never forget him. So we're taking up this process of regulated principles and cultivate our remembrance of Krishna. Now, our stubbornness makes that difficult. Our stubbornness holds us back from getting serious about these rules. So there, with intelligence, we have to cut. And then, as much as we can. Meanwhile, to whatever degree we are doing devotional service, that will purify us and give us more capacity to overcome our stubbornness at a later stage. In this way, we make progress. And gradually we can align ourselves more and more. So Prita Prabhu spoke about anartha nivritti, where first these stumbling blocks, these stubborn independent desires have to come down, our sinful attachments have to decrease, then we come to nistha. And at the stage of nistha, Prabhupada says 60 to 70% purified, then we really want to apply ourselves to the process. Then we get serious about abhideya, about getting purified and making advancement. Then it will go more rapid.
The same question is, how bad does a demon have to be for Krishna to come back and do something about it?
How bad a demon has to be for Krishna to come back and personally do something about it. I don't know if that's the only criterion, the badness of a demon. I don't know. It's just Krishna has his own scheduled pastimes. Krishna has his own desires to appear and to shower mercy upon this world, either in the form of his incarnations, his avatars, or once in a day of Brahma in his personal form. So when he comes, then he arranges some good demons to interact with. But although we see a description of Ravana coming to Bali Maharaj and asking Bali Maharaj to help him to fight in the war, since he's from the family lineage. Then Bali says, I'm too old now. But come, he takes him to a big treasury room, and there's a huge mountain of gold. He says, you can have this for your war. Ravana looks, it's like he's happy. Then Balimurti said, have a good look. What does it look like? He said, it looks like a gigantic earring. So then Bali Maharaj says, yes, this is the earring of Hiranyakasipu. And he was defeated by the Lord. And now you want to try? So as the yugas continues, the power of the demons decrease, but not the badness. The demons of this age are equally demoniac, like like Ravana, Hiranyakasipu, and so on. We should not be in illusion about it. They are as bad can be. That's what it means to be a demon. Yeah? You're getting a microphone.
Thank you for your class. I had two questions. The first, I was wondering, do you mind sharing what are some of your favorite qualities of Krishna that you've discovered over the years that have increased in you?
I think all Krishna's qualities are my favorite. That is the thing. And we see that. We see how the devotees are appreciating Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, but they also appreciate Krishna in Kurukshetra. They appreciate Krishna everywhere. Right? It's like Krishna is, it's just, he's wonderful. And it's this whole chapter, wonderful Krishna. All the qualities of Krishna are amazing. Everything about him.
Thank you. The second question, I was just wondering, you had said that we wouldn't cross the road without first looking, so we take some measure to protect ourselves. So can you comment a little about the balance between putting effort in life versus letting Krishna take control and surrendering when it comes to, I don't know, figuring out our life path and different practical matters?
When we speak about balance, right, it depends on our stage of advancement in devotional service. When we are in the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti and we are in the stage of following rules and regulations, then we are still conditioned. And at that stage, we are situating, it is important to situate ourselves, so according to Varna Ashram, in a situation which is suitable from where we are protected. The pastime of Gajendra, it is clear Gajendra was out of his element, he was fighting in the water. Then there's a long purport where Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the need to situate ourselves in a suitable situation according to Varna Ashram. So that is there. And of course, we look at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is completely absorbed in Krishna Prem and who comes to Vrindavan, jumps in the Yamuna and doesn't see the point to get out. It's perfect. He's in the Yamuna. That he might drown, he doesn't think about it. He thinks about only one thing. He's in the Yamuna. And his servant has to pull him out. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the state of ecstasy, was no longer able to make material arrangements for his protection or well-being. And he needed his... Others were protecting him at that stage. But that's... it's probably not something we're going to attain this lifetime. We're probably going to go the path of trying to follow nicely, being balanced, and in the end relying on the mercy of Krishna, mercy of Mahaprabhu, mercy of Srila Prabhupada, mercy of our spiritual masters, mercy of the Vaishnavas, like that. A lot of mercy is needed for us. Okay, yeah, last one.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the inspiring class. My question is regarding Guru Tattva. So, there is two types of association, WAPO Association and WANI Association. And so the WAPO Association, you know, the spiritual master might have maybe said like Prabhupada at 4,500, so one might not have the opportunity. And also there is a risk of becoming familiar in that. And WANI Association is still difficult for a conditioned soul. So my question is, a disciple, how should he, how much he should try WAPO and WANI, or how does it work?
The vapu, or the physical presence, is temporary, right? So in that sense, there are temporary opportunities. One devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, "I always want to sit at your feet." Prabhupada replied, "That will be difficult because my feet are always moving." So in this way, vapu, there may be rare opportunities for VAPU, but VAPU Association is certainly not to just be written off. It's very valuable and can be a great inspiration, and some moments of personal association with a great Vaishnava, Sarva Siddhi High, can be an inspiration for life, and all perfection can come from it. So therefore, that should not be... the importance of VAPU should not be minimized. But VANI remains available. Right? That remains available. Even when the personal presence is not there, the VANI is available. So at all times, we are taking shelter of the VANI. And in this way, both we serve through VAPU, personal presence, as much as we get the opportunity, and through instruction and the teachings, both.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so it's 9 o'clock, so I will stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.